Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Read, read, books, books.
We love Bookland. This morning we will talk to the folks from Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs, New York, and Manchester Center, Vermont for our book list, and they have traveled around the literary globe to collect these wonderful tomes after spending lots of time reading dozens of books and studying up. Jennifer Armstrong joins us this Tuesday morning with a terrific list of books to share. I think mostly for younger readers, yeah. Right?
Yes. Yes, that's right.
And so it's a pleasure to welcome Jennifer Armstrong to our program. Good morning and welcome. Very nice to have you here.
Thank you very much.
So where would you like to begin?
Well, I'm going to start with a wonderful new book for teens by Carl Hiaasen called Skink No Surrender.
Yep.
So Carl Hiaasen is well known to adult readers. He's been writing mystery novels set in South Florida for many years. And maybe 10 years or so ago, he broadened his reach to children. And now he's reaching teens. All of his books feature the same kind of fast-paced plots, funny dialogue, and very memorable characters and a vivid sense of place. In this new book, Skink No Surrender, we have Skink, who was introduced in one of his adult books quite a few years ago. He's a kind of a Floridian Grizzly Adams. He's part eco-warrior, part mystic, part hobo. And he is taking on the role of aging avenger to help young Will, a teen, track down his cousin who has either run away or possibly been abducted by a sleazeball that she met online.
We should say he's a former governor, too.
Yes, and Skink is formerly a governor, yes, with a glass eye and a crazy and memorable character. It's a very funny book. It has an ecological theme, which most of his books do have. It has basically everything an adult book from Hiaasen has, but without murders and prostitutes and the F-bomb. Okay.
I love this book. I love Carl Hiaasen, and I love this book. It's Skink No Surrender, A Missing Girl, A Hungry Gator, Only One Way Out. And it's terrific. It's published by Knopf, and it's out today. So good stuff. Very, very fun.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Okay, next is a picture book by noted picture book creator Bob Graham. This is called Vanilla Ice Cream. I know they're talking about picture books on the radio, maybe a gamble, but there's a lot to say about this one and about so many picture books. This book opens in India with a truck stop sparrow boldly pecking for seeds in a busy street scene. And right away, you're wondering what on earth this has to do with vanilla ice cream. But very soon, the sparrow becomes a stowaway on a cargo ship and ends up in a neighborhood in New York City, where he takes on the role of fate in an encounter with a toddler out for a day with her grandparents. So the illustrations play wonderfully with scale, from the tiny sparrow to the ship at sea, then to the toddler's point of view. So you go from the micro to the macro to the micro. It's like watching a film with panoramas and then close-ups. It's beautifully connected. And you can think of this book as a kind of an illustrated version of the butterfly effect principle. It's unexpected, and it's very sweet, and it's thought-provoking.
Vanilla Ice Cream by Bob Graham, a beautiful picture book from Candlewick Press, and great illustrations. Very nice. All right.
Okay. Next up is The Night Gardener by Jonathan Auxier. This is a novel for middle grade readers, maybe 8 to 12, and it is gothic in the best sense of the word. The story involves a pair of young Irish orphans, Molly and Kip, who are looking for employment at a very creepy English manor house in the remote woods. Right next to the house, almost sort of growing into the house, is a very ominous, gnarled tree. And inside the house, the family that employs the two kids is mysteriously dwindling away. So Molly, as the housemaid, has to clean up muddy footprints from the hallways every morning, although nobody will acknowledge it. And she gradually learns that the mysterious night man is a dangerous agent of the tree, which grants all desires, but at a terrible price. Although Molly determines to save the family, she is tempted by a glimpse of her own heart's desire and very nearly succumbs herself to the night gardener. It's really excellent, spooky storytelling, perfect for the Halloween season. So that is The Night Gardener.
The Night Gardener, Jonathan Oxier, is that how we're pronouncing that?
Yep.
Great. Good stuff.
Good. Okay, next up is Egg and Spoon by Gregory Maguire. We just had Gregory at the North Shire in Saratoga on Saturday night, where he read from this new book to a very enthusiastic crowd. It's a crossover title, which means that the audience is really anybody who likes great stories, whether it's teens, children, or adults. Maguire, of course, has been reinventing traditional stories for a very long time, and he has been best known for Wicked and for the Oz books that followed it. And now he has turned his attention to the folklore of Russia. The book is sort of a Prince and the Pauper story, but with girls, and it's set just before the revolution, the Russian Revolution. One of the most delightful characters I've met in a long time is the witch Baba Yaga, along with her talking cat, her house on chicken legs, her comic Anarchy. It's a great read for all ages. It's funny, it's moving, and the language is extravagantly beautiful.
It, I really enjoyed this book. It's an awful lot of fun, as most things that Gregory, well, all things that Gregory Maguire writes.
But, exactly.
It is Egg and Spoon, Gregory Maguire. It's published by Candlewick Press, and just a gorgeous book, beautifully put together. So.
Yeah, lovely. Okay, so I have another picture book to share. This one is called I Wish I Had a Pet, and the author illustrator is Maggie Rudy. This is a book that I think will make a great gift. We have a very simple text about wanting a pet and what taking care of a pet means, from keeping it warm and feeding it and taking it for exercise. But the narrator of the text is a mouse, and the pets are bees and pill bugs and little birds and so on. The illustrations consist of photos of these very charming hand-felted mice and birds in painted backdrops like little dioramas. The insects are made of paper or clay or other materials, and everything is to scale, which makes for some very amusing pet relationships. Anybody who likes miniatures or likes handcrafts will admire the artistry of these little creatures, and I think any little child who is dreaming of pet ownership will be enchanted by it as well. There's a reason that mice figure so often in books for young readers. They are charming.
Yeah, they're very cute. Although these mice have like really very accurate mouse tails, which most mice and children's books do not. So kudos for that.
Yeah.
If I Wish I Had a Pet by Maggie Rudy.
Okay, next up is a middle grade novel, again, 8 to 12-year-old readers. This is called There Will Be Bears by Ryan Gebhardt. And it is a book about hunting. So I will say that I don't hunt and I don't even eat meat, but I do believe that children should have access to literature that reflects their experiences and acknowledges it, acknowledges their interests. And so I know a lot of kids in our listening area are interested in hunting, and it can be a rite of passage for many young teens. So I'm glad to be able to recommend a very, very good book for them and to everyone who likes a good story. It features a very reliable, a very likable narrator named Tyson, who has a beautiful relationship with his grandfather, who has promised to take him on his first elk hunt when the time is right and Tyson is old enough. The problem is that by the time is right, Gramps is in failing health, and keeping his promise to Tyson is in question. So it's a wonderful book about what it means to be a man, and it explores many of the roles that boys grow up to inhabit as men, successfully or not. And yes, there will be bears.
There will be bears. Ryan Gebhardt is the author, and Sounds like a very neat story. Those are very imposing bear claws on the cover of the book. All right.
Yeah, it's terrific. Okay, next up, another picture book. This is Viva Frida by Yuji Morales. And I'm going to go on record to predict this as the next winner of the Caldecott Medal for Outstanding Illustration in a Book for Children. This is a picture book biography of Frida Kahlo that is so spectacularly beautiful that I urge you all to rush to your nearest independent bookstore to look at it. Morales has rendered the spirit of Frida Kahlo in these exquisite vignettes, which use puppets and painted backdrops to bring us Frida exploring the world, feeling pain and love and joy. The text is extremely simple, with English in the foreground and Spanish floating behind it. The book plays with scale, with point of view, with composition, all while sailing through a dreamlike world of color and wonder. It's a book to absolutely fall in love with and to treasure. I just absolutely adore this book.
It is beautiful, and I love the deer, the fawn in it. It is Frida, and it is a gorgeous book. Viva Frida, right?
Mm-hmm. Viva Frida.
Viva Frida. By
Yuji
Morales.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Next up, another middle grade novel. This is The Green Glass House by Kate Milford. And this is a mystery, sort of in the classic English country house mystery style. We have a large inn, which is reputed to be a smuggler's hideaway, filling gradually in the days before Christmas with strangers who arrive one by one. And they may or may not have connections to one another. Milo, who lives at the inn with his parents, who are the innkeepers, and his friend Mehdi use their RPG skills, their role-playing game skills, to solve a series of puzzles and mysteries and crimes related to the house, its history, and the people stuck there by an ice storm. And one of the things that I like about this book is the use of adult characters, who are so often in children's books sort of relegated to the background. Of course, I'm all for children, the kid characters being the protagonists of their books, but all too often, the adult characters are kind of reduced to two-dimensional roles, like chauffeur or cook or jailer, and it doesn't allow them to become fully realized characters who can have complex interactions with the kid protagonist. So this book, Green Glass House, and all of the novels that I've mentioned so far, The Night Gardener, Skink No Surrender, Egg and Spoon, and There Will Be Bears, all have really interesting adult characters for the young heroes to play against. And that's a quality I think that is really terrific to find in literature for kids.
Sounds beautiful. Green Glass House by Kate Milford.
Mm-hmm. And a couple of classics that I brought today. The first is Where is the Green Sheep by Mem Fox. This was first published 10 years ago. It is a brilliant board book. Mem Fox is Australia's really finest writer for children. The book is a real delight. It does several things simultaneously. The rhyme structure, the repetition, and the rhythm lay a sort of like a gentle pathway to the sort of the sleep mode for the baby or the toddler. But the unexpected imagery and the mystery of where the green sheep is invite an opening of the imagination at sort of the gateway to dreams. It does all of this using only familiar words of one syllable. And so this really is an extraordinary accomplishment. And if you are looking for a perfect baby book, this is it.
Mem Fox's Where is the Green Sheep? And we have about half a minute left, so let's finish up with indeed a classic.
Indeed a classic, Harriet the Spy by Louise Fitzhugh. This is the 50th anniversary of this fabulous book. This book has been referred to as the first modern children's novel. And what I would like to make note of is its influence on so many contemporary writers for children. And in fact, this 50th anniversary edition includes tributes from some very, very noted authors, including Gregory Maguire and other noted authors and experts on literature for kids, about the influence of this book, its impact, and its enduring hold for young readers.
Louise Fitzhugh's Harriet the Spy, 50 years old. Oh, my God. Time flies. For more information on the Northshire Bookstore in Manchester, Vermont, and Saratoga Springs, New York, you can go to their website, northshire.com. Bookseller extraordinaire Jennifer Armstrong, thank you so much for sharing your picks with us. Great to have you here.
It's been fun. Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.